Amen, amen. Well, it truly is a powerful name, a wonderful name, an amazing name, the name that can remove all of our sins and make us more like our Lord and Savior. And so what a joy it is to be able to worship with each and everybody today. Thank you for joining us online, and thank you for those that were able to come out in person. A couple of special announcements, and then we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, because there's lots of burdens that are weighing heavy on our hearts as well. And I do want to let our church family and friends know that next Sunday morning we will begin our mission celebration. So next Sunday morning, it won't be me bringing forth a message. It will be a missionary, and she's going to go by the name of Abby Randall. And she is going to be coming all the way. She's on furlough now, but she is going to be coming all the way from serving in an area in North Africa to share with us what God is doing on the mission field there. And she serves there with her husband, and I believe their family as well. And so be plan on being in tune with us next week for that. And then on the Wednesday service won't be televised, but we are going to have a missionary that is going to be heading back to Taiwan. His first name is Andy, and he is going to be sharing with us what's happening on that mission field. We can't broadcast it, but you're more than welcome to come out and join us next, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, September 23rd at 6 o'clock right here in our sanctuary. So I'm excited about that. God loves missions. God loves missionaries. God loves churches and people, men and women of God that are spreading the good news of Jesus both locally and around the world. And so let's pray for all of our missionaries today. All of us by now have heard about the terrible fires that are taking place, especially on the West Coast. And so let's be in prayer for the people of California, I believe Oregon as well, and also in the state of Washington. And so let's pray for all those in harm's way and pray for all those families that have lost loved ones as well. We've been told earlier that so many people are still recovering from the terrible hurricanes that took place as well. And so pray for them. On a personal note, family members that are struggling with just needs right now, let me mention a couple of them for you. The brother of Lloyd, Danny, is actually having surgery this morning. And so pray for him. Pray that he's able to recover. We got word from a missionary that has actually preached at this church. His name was Georgie, and he serves in India, has a great ministry there among the Indian people. He told me earlier this week that his son Kevin is actually going to college in Florida, and he came down with the COVID-19. And so pray for Kevin. You imagine it's really hard for Georgie being so far away from his son at a time like this, but definitely pray for all those that are struggling with this terrible sickness. We also want to pray for Mark. This would be Miss Ann's son-in-law. He's having terrible back pain, and so we want to remember him and his dear wife, Amanda. Also, I told you last week that Brother Ralph has suffered a stroke, and so we want to pray for Ralph. I did get to talk to him earlier this week, and he seemed to be doing fine, but he's got a lot of recovery to go. We want to continue to pray for Brother Mike and Miss Jane. You know by now that Mike also had suffered a stroke, and he's recovering in Snellville right now, but pray for him and his family. I mentioned earlier to our immediate church family that's here that we also want to pray for Joyce. Joyce spent some time at the hospital this week. In fact, I think she's still there, and so this is somebody that needs God to touch her as well. And then also we met the mother, I believe Pam was her name, of a 19-year-old named Stephen that's dealing with leukemia. So we want to continue to pray for Stephen in our prayers. Let's also be in prayer for all of our medical personnel and first responders that are on the front lines trying to minister to so many people that are struggling today. Let's continue to pray for our country, that God would bring unity, that God would bring reconciliation, that God would bring revival. Let's continue to pray for our leaders, our both local leaders and state leaders. Let's continue to pray for Governor Brian Kemp, and of course national leaders too. Continue to pray for our president, President Donald Trump, and Vice President Mike Pence. We all know that we've got very important elections coming up, and so let's pray that God would just take control of those elections and just bring to leadership whoever he desires. Okay, we'll just leave it at that, but let's pray for our leaders in the meantime. All right, well, we've got a lot to pray about, and I think we've got a good message to look at in the Word of God together. So without any further delay, let's go to our great and mighty King in prayer. Won't you join me? Dear Father, we are just so thankful to be able to come and worship you. Many of us were able to come in person and worship you here at First Baptist Church Lithonia. We know that many more are joining us online, and Lord, their worship is just as meaningful. We pray, Lord, that you would bless all of the churches that are proclaiming your word. We pray, Lord, that you would meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just be your hands and feet in this world and to let our words and our songs bring you all the glory and praise that you are so worthy of. Lord, you know about all the people that are struggling today. We think of all those people that are in harm's way because of these terrible fires. We just pray, Lord, that you would be with all those that are trying to rescue and trying to save and trying to put out these fires. We just pray that you would protect them and that you would protect all the people that are in danger. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are a God that is the great physician. And we pray for all those that might be in the middle of a surgery, may have an upcoming procedure. We just pray, Lord, that you would be the great physician, that you would meet all these needs, and that you would bless us with your healing touch. We pray for all those that have lost loved ones in recent weeks. And we just pray, Lord, that you would be the God of all comfort, that you would minister to those needs, that you would fill our hearts with comfort, and that you would just give us the strength to keep on trusting you and to keep on leaning on you. Lord, how we pray for our country today. We pray for our local states. We pray for our nation. We pray, Lord, that you would just give our leaders wisdom and guidance, that you would bring revival to our hearts, that you would just do what only you can do in our each and individual lives. Help us, Lord, to be able to reach out with your love and your forgiveness and your mercy. And we pray, Lord, that when people see us wherever we go, that they would see just a little picture of the love of Jesus. Just do a work in our lives today and just open up our hearts and our minds so that we can hear a word from you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for being with us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you'd be kind enough to turn in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to start. Matthew chapter 5, as we continue, we're in the middle of a sermon series. Well, we haven't quite reached the middle yet, but we're approaching it. And the name of the sermon series is called, you can see it right here on the bulletin board, Breaking the Chains, Breaking the Chains. And so our goal and our desire, our prayer, we might say, is that God would break anything in our life that's keeping us from being more like Him. We started out by talking about fear. All right, we're not talking about the healthy kind of reverence, but more the terror. And that's not supposed to be a part of our lives as Christians, but we're supposed to trust God. Then we talked about discouragement. And in the world we live in today, how many of you know there's a lot of discouragement out there? But we don't have to be discouraged because we can have hope. We can have hope because the Lord is on the throne. And last week we talked about temptation. And temptation is something we all struggle with. It doesn't matter how many years you've walked with the Lord, chances are temptation still nips at your heels and sometimes nips at our hearts and even nips at our minds on occasion. But God is able to even break the chains for temptation in our life. We don't have to give in to the enemy. We can stand firm in our faith. Amen? All right, I'm trying to get that first amen early today. Make sure you're all with me. Today we're going to move in and we're going to talk about something else that can keep us down. And that's called anger. Breaking the chains of uncontrolled anger in our lives today. And as a boy and as I think about anger, when I think about anger, there's one that comes to my mind first, almost immediately. And he might come to your mind as well. Especially if you're about the same age as me, or maybe a little bit younger even, would probably work well. But one of my favorite heroes as a boy was the Incredible Hulk. In fact, Linda was kind enough, and I got a bulletin that's a little bit different than yours. My bulletin has the Incredible Hulk on it. Now, just a show of hands, how many of you would have preferred the Incredible Hulk on your bulletin instead of that face today? Raise your hand. Oh, boy. We're going to have to get a little more wild around here, aren't we, huh? So, all right, next time we'll go with the Incredible Hulk instead of the face, all right? But thank you, Linda, for giving me a special bulletin. In fact, I liked the Incredible Hulk so much as a boy, I even had a colored picture of Lou Ferrigno, who played the Incredible Hulk, on my closet door, all right? So I just enjoyed the show. Well, let me tell those of you who might not know a lot about the story of the Incredible Hulk, but it was about Dr. David Banner. He was a kind, gentle man, but when he got angry, he would turn into a monster, wouldn't he? He would turn into the Incredible Hulk. Now, amazingly, this green giant would defeat all the bad guys all the time, and he would save all the people that were helpless. And so, although he got mad and he turned into a monster, miraculously, you might say, really, he never hurt anybody throughout the whole show. Even if he threw somebody 50 feet, they were able to just dust themselves up and get right back up again. It was just amazing. But this green giant would defeat the bad guys and save the helpless. In fact, the Hulk caused a lot of damage, and that's one of the things I loved about the show. I mean, man, he could tear up some stuff, all right? He caused a lot of damage, but miraculously, he did more good than he did harm, all right? You know, anger can kind of be like that sometimes. Sometimes, if we respond to anger in the wrong way, all right, or make, say, react, we'll get a little deeper into this a little bit later in the message, then we can tear some things up. And some of the stuff we can tear up is really hard to put back together again. However, if we learn to handle our anger when it comes across, because things are going to make us upset from time to time, that's just a part of being a human being, all right? But there's a right way to handle anger where we can do great good with it. And there's also a very bad way to handle anger in where we can just tear things up. So today we're going to talk about how do we handle this very strong emotion that we call anger. All right? Anybody could use a little help in this area from time to time? We all could. So today we're going to start out looking at the passage in the Sermon on the Mount and talk about handling anger. Let's first look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. So follow along with me in your Bibles as we read these verses, and then we'll have another short prayer before we dig into the Word together. Matthew 5, verse 21. You have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brothers will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. All right, we'll stop there for right now. We'll tackle the other two verses in a moment. Let me have one more brief word of prayer with you. Dear Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you have equipped us and wired us and designed us. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunities we have to serve you. And Lord, we know that from time to time, if we're honest, things will happen in our lives that can make us upset. And in some cases can even bring us to be angry. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would show us in your word how we can handle that anger, how we can take something that can be so destructive and with your help, use it in such a way to bring about good. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to handle our anger and give us wisdom as we look in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first point we're going to talk about today is we are warned to be careful of the ugly root. Be careful of the ugly root. Now, I do apologize this morning. We're having some technical difficulties with our projector, so you're going to have to listen extra close today and try to fill in the blanks on your own. And for those listening online, it's going to even be harder, but I'll try to go slow and be real clear about the A's and the B's and the Roman numerals as well. So the first thing we're going to talk about is warn to be careful of the ugly root. And letter A underneath that is the source of sin begins in the heart. The source of sin begins in our hearts. These verses, as we mentioned, are part of the greatest sermon that was ever preached. And you might say it was preached by the greatest preacher that ever walked on our earth. And of course, we know it was Jesus. Its verses are part of the Sermon on the Mount. This sermon would have been preached on a hillside on the outskirts of Capernaum. And as Jesus was up there on the hillside, the thousands would have gathered down below him, and his voice just echoed on that hillside, and they could all hear every single word that he preached. And really, if we had to describe, well, what was the Sermon on the Mount all about? It was really about the way the people of God are called to live. You might say kingdom principles. How, if you're part of the family of God, if you're part of the kingdom of God, then these are some life lessons, some things that should be a part of our lives. Now, we're all not going to be perfect, but to the best of our ability, with God's help, this is the way a child of God is supposed to live, okay? And so we're going to dig into just one little section of that great sermon today. Now, Jesus started out by basically saying, everybody knows that murder is wrong. In fact, the sixth commandment makes it very plain. You know, the commandments that Moses received on Mount Sinai, he made it very plain that it is wrong to take somebody's life, all right? And so murder is always wrong. In fact, six times in this chapter, you'll find something very similar. Six times, Jesus will say words like this: you have heard it said in the past, but then he would take it to another degree. He'd say, you have heard it said, but I say. And he would take the commandment to a whole, or the principle of the way we're supposed to live, to a whole different level. All right? So everybody knew it was wrong to commit murder, but Jesus is concerned about what causes the murder. He always gets to the root of the problem, doesn't he? And what causes murder is basically uncontrolled anger in our life. And so the root of murder is anger. And Jesus always wants to get to the root of the matter, the heart of the matter. So he's concerned about what causes the murder in the first place. He's not saying that murder isn't wrong. Certainly it's wrong. But he's saying even the anger, when it comes out and it's not controlled and it just comes out like a bomb and causes the murder, that in itself is also wrong. Do you understand? Do you follow me today? He's going a little bit deeper with these rules and the way that we're supposed to live. So if we get rid of the root of the problem, the murder won't become a problem. Does that make sense today? Just go like this if you're still with me today. All right. Those blank faces where everybody's just kind of looking at me, they kind of scare me, to be honest with you. Right? And you know I'm not supposed to be afraid. All right? So, murder begins with an explosion of anger. Now, if we had to try and define, well, what is anger? We might say it's strong feelings of displeasure. Of course, we might say that's putting it mild, right? Strong feelings of displeasure. Usually, they can turn hostile or even violent. Here's another word. Incense, or being very upset. So we all know what anger is, and we all know how dangerous it can be. Now you say, well, where does it come from? We're going to get a little deeper with this as we go this morning, but usually, if we had to be honest, it usually comes when our fleshly feathers get ruffled. When our fleshly feathers get ruffled, right? When somebody does something we don't like or don't agree with and they ruffle our feathers, sometimes we can respond with being upset or even being angry. So the fuse that ignites the dynamite of murder is what? Is anger. That's the fuse. If we didn't have this problem in the first place, and if we learned how to handle our anger in the right way, then we would never light that fuse that would actually result in such destruction that anger, uncontrolled anger, can bring. An angry heart not dealt with properly will lead to disaster and pain. All right? So Jesus wants to get to the root of the problem. What's the root of murder? The root of murder is actually anger. All right? So the source of sin begins in our hearts. Let's get a little further along today. Look at letter B on your outlines. Letter B is snip the root before it's too late. We've got to snip the root before it's too late. Many times, our mouths are the first ones to get into the action. Now, how many can just raise a hand and say, yeah, I can kind of see that in my life when I'm upset about something? What's usually the first body part to get involved in the action? It's usually our mouths. So where does Jesus start? He starts in our mouths. You know, he knows everything, doesn't he? He's the one who made us. He designed us. Many times our mouths are the first ones to get into the action. And we say things we almost always regret. When you're angry, you know what? It's best to just keep our mouths closed. Because if you're angry, if you're fueled up and fed up with something, and you say, yeah, I'm going to call that person, I'm going to write a letter, I'm going to go to that person's door and knock on it. If you're angry, let me just say it might be best to count to 10, right? So that you don't react. Instead, you were going to learn how to respond today. Jesus gives a couple of examples. And the first word he says there, that if you called somebody raka. Now, chances are, I don't think anybody in this church has probably ever said to somebody raka. You say, well, what does it mean? It's an Aramaic word, all right? That's the language that Jesus would have spoken predominantly. If you would have said raka to somebody that understood Aramaic, you're going to kind of like this, I think. You know what it means? It means empty head. Empty head. Actually, it's very similar to the English word he uses next. Another example, he says he uses the word fool. Basically, that's kind of the same thing that fool means. And it's an English word, of course, and you might say, and I'm glad some of the grandkids are still here, but really it means stupid, all right? Stupid, one who lacks judgment is what it means. Now, by today's standards, raka or fool, we might even say those are pretty mild. Those are pretty mild words compared to what we might hear out there when somebody was really upset. But Jesus is very quick to point out. In fact, he tells us in Matthew 12:34, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we get angry about something, and when our mouth gets into the action, if we've got an ugly heart, it's going to result in ugly words coming out of our mouth. We're going to be upset, and the bitter heart is going to speak, and everybody's going to know that we have lost our cool. Anger on the loose results in trouble. He says, first of all, if a Hebrew, all right, a Jewish person, were to say raka to one of his brothers, in other words, to be ugly with somebody, he might actually get to the point where they would have to stand before the Sanhedrin. You say, well, who are the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin are basically the ruling body of the Hebrew people. All right? So if you let your words go far enough, or if you spout it off to somebody that was important, you better believe your words might get you in trouble. You might find yourself standing before the ruling body of the Hebrew people, the Sanhedrin. But it goes on. It says, well, if you let those words keep on flowing, right? Not only are you going to get in trouble with the human body of leadership, but you might actually find yourself in trouble with God himself. And that's the way the verse ends that we're looking at. Look at this. It says, you might stand before the Sanhedrin for saying raka, but anyone who says you fool, right, will be in danger of the fires of hell itself. You know what Jesus was telling them? That it was sin. That's basically the bottom of line. Keep in mind, how many sins does it take to pollute our lives to the point that when we leave this world without Jesus, we will unfortunately be sentenced to hell, right? It only takes one. Jesus says basically that when we let our mouths spout off uncontrolled anger, then we are going to get in trouble. We're going to cause a lot of damage, and we are going to get into trouble. All right? If we deal with the root, the anger, we can save ourselves a lot of harm and danger. All right? So we're warned to be careful of the ugly root. That's where we started this morning. I want you to turn with me to another passage. We're going to get back to Matthew 5 in a little bit, but let's jump on over to Ephesians. There's another passage here, and if you're talking about anger, you cannot leave out the book of Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at just verses 26 and 27. All right? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Let me give you number 2, so you can jot that down while we're reading these verses. Wild emotions only produce ugly fruit. Wild emotions only produce ugly fruit. Let me start in verse 25. Kind of follows up where we left off. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Now look at verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold in your life. All right? So letter A underneath number 2, we're cautioned against holding on to pain. Or you might say another way of putting it might be holding on to bitterness. All right? Cautioned against holding on to pain. Let me give you the context of these verses. If we had looked at verses 22 to 24 in this same chapter, Ephesians chapter 4, you would find that Paul is actually talking to the Ephesian believers about a new way that they're supposed to live. And he describes the new way they're supposed to live by the fact that they are supposed to put off the old clothes and instead put on the new robes of righteousness. In other words, what he's saying, leave the old stuff behind. You guys are Christians now. You're Christ followers. You've been called to a whole new way that we're supposed to live. So he's saying, leave the old junk behind, the fruits of the flesh, and instead be ready to serve God with brand new, pure clothes. So Christians are called to leave the old ways behind. You say, well, what are some of those old ways that we're called to leave behind? Well, some of them are going to look real familiar to you. Because the old fleshly ways, the old dirty clothes, let me read a couple of those. How about rage? How about anger? How about discord or hatred? That's part of the old fleshly. Now, how many of you want those to describe your life? Nobody? Definitely not. That's not supposed to be my part of my life as a Christian. But you know, the new clothes we're supposed to put on by way of the Holy Spirit, the new pure ways are words like love, joy, peace, patience, and it goes on and on, but they're all wonderful, good ways that we're supposed to live. So, we're told that as a Christian, we're supposed to leave the old junk behind and with God's help, put on brand new pure clothes of righteousness. That makes sense to everybody? Amen? All right. You know what? It's impossible to do on our own. We can only do that with God's help, right? That's why the fruit that we're talking about, the love, the joy, and the peace, it's the fruit really of a relationship with God. But if you have that relationship this morning, we're supposed to live the new way. We're not supposed to live the old way. We need help getting rid of that old stuff so that we can live and serve God with the new stuff. And so he goes on. Now that you know the context, let's look back at verse 26. And the first thing we're told there is, in your anger, do not sin. And then it goes on and says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. All right? So what are we cautioned against? We're cautioned against holding on to anger or bitterness or pain or anything that would bring us to the point of being greatly upset. Let it go. He says, in your anger, don't sin. Now, think about this. Notice he said, in your anger, don't sin. Now, let's think for a minute. Does that mean that anger sometimes, if it's handled properly, can it ever result in good? The truth is, it can. It can if it's handled the right way. Remember, I said from time to time there's going to be things that happen, maybe in our lives, maybe to people that are around us or people in the world that we hear about, and from time to time it's going to cause us to get upset. It might even cause us to get angry. The trick is, what are we going to do with that anger? Because there is some things that can bring us to the point of anger that we can actually handle in the right way, and it can bring about a positive reaction. If under control and for the right cause, anger can actually be a positive thing if it's handled right. But here's the way that we got to be careful of. Because if, when we hold on to it, when something makes us upset and we just sit there and stew about it. Anybody ever done that before? I can't believe that person had the nerve to say that to me or to do that to me or to ignore me like that or to hurt me like that. And we just sit there and we stew about it. You know what? You're not handling the anger in the right way. All right? That's the wrong way to handle anger. When we stew about it, you know what happens? We get bitter. Basically, that means that being upset just kind of goes to the heart of who we are. And that actually can turn to bitterness, and it can even get worse. Sometimes we can get a sour attitude and eventually explode and cause real damage. Damage that in many cases cannot be repaired. And so when we lose our temper, that's the wrong way to handle anger. Then we become like an Incredible Hulk that does real damage instead of the Incredible Hulk that we watched on the television show. So don't let the enemy, he goes on. He says, be careful, Christians. Don't let the enemy get a foothold in your life. What does that mean? It means when we get upset about something and we allow it to turn into bitterness and start souring our attitude, guess what the enemy is doing? He is getting a foothold in your life, right? A base of operation. And you know what? He's going to take that uncontrolled anger. He's going to set up a base right there in your heart. And he is going to sour your attitude. He is going to make you cause you to do things that you don't want to do. What has happened? You have not handled anger in the right way. You have allowed the enemy to get a foothold in your life. You know what we need to do with God's help? We need to let go of yesterday's struggles, because every day has enough struggles of their own. That's why it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. A lot of times you'll see pastors, I've done it many times at weddings, where you talk to people and say, you know what, before you go to bed tonight, make sure you're in agreement with each other, that you forgive each other, that you put it behind you so that you can get a fresh start the next morning. How important that is, that we don't hold on to these things and let them become mountains, all right? So every day has enough struggles of its own. So we're cautioned against holding on to pain. All right, let's look at letter B. I think you're going to like this part. Common triggers for our anger. What are some things that can really trigger our anger? And the truth is, we'd probably all have a different list here today. Let me get a sip of water. I must be talking too much already. Common triggers for our anger. Here's a couple of things I know they can make me upset from time to time. How about this? When we don't get our own way. When we don't get our own way. How about when our opinion isn't valued? They're not even listening to all this wisdom that I just know I've got inside of me, and they're just ignoring me. They're not doing it my way. They decided to go ahead and do it their way. That ever happened to you before? All right? It always happens, of course. But you know, the truth is, we can't win every game. We've got to be a good sport. We've got to be a good sport. Isn't that what we tell our kids? right? You can't win every game. Try your best, and when the other team wins, you shake their hand and say, man, it was a great game, but I'm going to get you next time, right? Be a good sport. It teaches us humility. We don't get our own way, and sometimes it can make us upset. Let me tell you something that might bring you back to grade school. You can't always have the red crayon. Amen? Sometimes you got to give that red crayon to somebody else, right? And pick a different color, all right? We don't always get our own way, but be careful, because sometimes when we don't get our own way, and I can speak firsthand, it makes us upset, all right? Here's the second thing that can make us upset. How about when we see or experience a perceived injustice? When we see or experience a perceived injustice. When we see and we say, that's wrong. How could they say that? How could they treat that person like that? You know what? Sometimes that can make us angry. All right? By the way, that type of anger isn't always necessarily bad, because sometimes it leads us to action. Now, when I say action, notice the right kind of action, not the explosive kind of action that we see around the world today, but the right kind of action, all right? Sometimes that anger can lead to the right kind of action. Might I just say today that if you're not angry about something today that's happening around the world or around our country today, then you must be asleep. Am I right? Is everybody angry about something in here today? Keep in mind, it might not be a bad type of anger. It might be a very good kind of anger. Why? Because hopefully it's going to result in positive action, not burning buildings or flipping over police cars or hurting somebody. That's not good kind of action. Hopefully it's going to result in positive kind of action. When we don't get our own way, sometimes it can make us upset. When we see or experience a perceived injustice. How about this one? When we are attacked unjustly, ridiculed. The truth is, sometimes when that happens, we want to retaliate, right? When somebody does something to us, we say, oh, I'm going to get that person back again, right? You know what? Jesus says, vengeance is mine. You pray for your persecutors. You pray for those people that have hurt you, and you leave it in the hands of God. David is a very famous example. You can jot down these verses and look at them a little bit later. But in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 32 to 34, 1 Samuel 25, 32 to 34, you find, let me recap the story just briefly for you today. David is out in the wilderness with his 600 fighting men, all right? And there's a farmer, all right, named Nabal, that has herds of sheep and flocks of lambs. He's got a big spread out there in the wilderness near where David and his men are. And so it was sheep sharing time. And at sheep sharing time back then, it was a time of celebration. It was a festive occasion. And so people that had the means oftentimes would help somebody that might not have the means. It was a time for the wealthy to be able to give back to some of the poor. All right, does everybody follow me today? And so it was that time of the year. And so David's men had basically been protecting the flocks of this man named Nabal for several months. Finally, it was sheep sharing time. And so David says, he sends 10 of his young men and he says, go to Nabal and see if there's any provisions that he can give us. You know, because we're hungry and we're struggling out here. See if this wealthy man that we've been kind of taking care of for the last several months wants to help us out a little bit. Well, you know what? You know the story, don't you? The 10 men showed up there at Nabal, and you know what Nabal did? He insulted David. I never even heard of this man. And I don't know, there's lots of people that are leaving their masters and leaving the king this day. Basically, I'm not going to give you a thing whatsoever. They went back and told David this. David was angry. He was furious. In fact, he was so upset that he had 400 of his men strap on their swords, and he says, we're going to go take care of Nabal tonight. All right, he got to the point where he was furious. He was ready to slaughter his whole family because he was so angry. Well, Abigail, Nabal's wife, actually heard about what Nabal had done, and she actually interceded, all right? And so she showed up there with provisions and was able to kind of be a calm David down and let him know that kind of she spoke up on behalf of her husband because her husband was acting a little bit foolish. And so David was very grateful because basically he was grateful to Abigail because you know what he had allowed the anger to do? To get him so upset that he was about ready to explode. And he would have caused lots of damage that he probably would have felt terrible for later. And that's sometimes what can happen with uncontrolled anger. So he was grateful that this woman of God was able to intercede and keep him from taking vengeance on himself. All right? But the truth is, sometimes that can happen to us. When we lose our patience, especially when we're tired, all right? We can lose our patience, and that also can result in anger. Every one of these can be handled and overcome with the Holy Spirit's help. But there's lots of things that can cause us to become angry. Let's get a little deeper this morning. We've talked about warning to be careful of the ugly root. We've talked about wild emotions that will produce the ugly fruit. And thirdly, the wisdom to give hostility the boot. All right? Don't you like the way it rhymed this week? Look at letter A. Learn to respond instead of react. Learn to respond instead of react. Let's go back to Matthew. We'll close here. Matthew chapter 5, those two verses that we didn't quite get to yet. Let me read those for you real quickly. Matthew chapter 5, let me read verses 23 and 24. Keep in mind, this is on the same, right underneath the very verses that we had just read, all right, a moment ago. Verse 23 of Matthew 5, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Underneath wisdom to give hostility to the boot, we need to learn to respond instead of react. Learn to respond instead of react. Anger, as we've already mentioned, does not always have to be a bad thing. All right? Doesn't have to be a bad thing. In fact, if we look in our Bibles, did Jesus ever get angry about anything? The truth is, he actually did. He got angry about something. Jot this passage down. Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13. Matthew 21, 12 and 13. Jesus, when he showed up at the temple shortly before his crucifixion, and he realized that people were selling things in the court of the Gentiles. This is where the Gentiles were invited to come and worship God. Excuse me, I'm having a hard time with this microphone sometime. But he was very upset because they were treating the temple as almost like a marketplace when it should have been a house of prayer. And you know the story, don't you? He went there and said, why are you treating God's temple, my father's house, in this way? And he actually got very angry. And he threw all the money changers. He actually even turned over tables. Now, I'll tell you what, that's not usually the way that we picture Jesus. But Jesus was fed up with the way that the people were treating his heavenly Father and the temple of God. And so he got upset and he cleansed the temple. By the way, that wasn't a sinful anger, that was a righteous anger. Jesus did not commit a single sin while he lived among us. It was a righteous anger. Now, strong emotions resulted in a lesson that the people never forgot. All right, he was defending the holiness of God. Now, here's a question that we've got to answer this morning before we move on. When anger comes, here's the question. Do we react to it or do we respond to it? I'll tell you right now, you don't want to react. You want to respond. Let me tell you the difference. When we react to something, basically, somebody does something to make us upset, to ruffle our feathers, right? And we lash out. We retaliate. We explode. And here's the key part. We do more damage than we do good. That's reacting, right? Anybody ever react before? Anybody ever react this week? No, just kidding. All right. Now, how do we respond? When we respond, somebody ruffles our feathers or something in our world gets us upset. There's plenty of things out there to do that, all right? And instead of just exploding, here's what we do. We think, we reflect, here's a big one, we pray, all right? Think, reflect, pray, and then, here's the important part, take action. Don't just sit there and don't do anything about it, but respond. But respond in the appropriate way. In other words, sometimes anger can push us to the point where we're ready to help out, we're ready to minister, we're ready to respond in the appropriate way. Sometimes that strong emotion of anger, when it's dealt with the proper way, can actually allow us to do a lot of good, to help a lot of people that might be struggling. All right? When anger comes, do we react or do we respond? When we respond, make sure our response is measured. Make sure our response is productive. In some cases, and you'll see a little clearer as we go a little bit further today, make sure our response is protective and the result of anger controlled the right way, it will be a productive response as well. So our response should be measured, productive, protective, and the results should be positive. Some things that might make a Christian angry today. Let me give a couple of things so some of you might be saying, well, you know, Pastor's saying anger can actually be a good thing. And there's things that I'm supposed to be angry about in our world. Let me give you a couple of examples so you'll know what I'm talking about. Anybody ever get angry about domestic abuse? You know what? There's nothing wrong with getting angry when somebody is being attacked or belittled or even worse. And by the way, if you looked up how many times this happens in our very own state of Georgia, you would be amazed. I didn't even want to write down the numbers because they were so discouraging. Let's just say it happens a lot, way too much. Domestic abuse sometimes can make us angry. What about human trafficking? You know, young women, teenagers, in some cases young boys, you know, being marketed. I mean, I don't need to go any further with that. That makes your pastor very angry, all right? And I know it makes you angry as well. What about acts of injustice? When we see, you know, the court systems or whatever, or just people just not doing what you know is the right thing to do. Sometimes acts of injustice. What about disunity? All the hatred that we see around us today, and people just can't get along and love each other. That makes us upset too as God's people, the disunity around us. And one last thing, what about dishonesty? You know what? You got to be careful who you listen to today. Do the work, do the investigation, because what we're hearing might not necessarily be the complete truth. It's our responsibility to do the research, to make sure we know that what somebody is telling us, whether it be a pastor on a Sunday morning or whether it be what we watch on our TV screens, be sure that we know who's telling us the truth. These things can make us upset. But here's the important part. Let our righteous anger produce positive changes, whether it be meaningful discussion, right? Get together with somebody, sit down and say, how can we take this terrible situation and make it better? You know what else? And I like this one even better. Not only meaningful discussion, but what about meaningful ministry opportunities? Think about the human trafficking. You know what, church? If we're upset about that, if we're upset about the domestic abuse, why don't we come up with a ministry and have some of those Christian brothers and sisters that are upset with us, why don't we step up and see what we can do as the family of God to meet that need? Can you see the way what started out as something that many would people consider bad to actually result in something good? You know what? Speak up. Speak up and say, man, you know, I'm upset about this. What can we do about this as a church to help people out or to stop this from happening in our community? Let our righteous anger produce positive changes. Learn to respond instead of react. And finally, let's close with letter B. Let God's love bring reconciliation. Let God's love bring reconciliation. This is back to the verses 23 and 24 that we just read in Matthew chapter 5. And basically, here's what I want to leave you with this morning. We can't worship God properly with a bitter, angry heart. If I'm fueled up and if I'm fed up and if I'm angry, especially with another brother or sister, and then I walk into church and I say, you know, hey, I'm ready to worship God today. You know what? How many of you know it's not going to happen? It's not going to happen. It can't happen. Because if we can't love our brother and sister, then how are we going to love God? If we are stewing about something, having a disagreement, first try and make peace, and then come and worship God. It's no coincidence that these verses follow right along, right after what we've just talked about with being angry and the fact that anger can be a sin. If we're angry with somebody, first try and make peace and then come and worship God. Now, I like it. Notice who wrote this book. Matthew. By the way, his name used to be Levi. And you remember what his occupation was. He was a tax collector. And he has the nerve to say, if you're in church and it gets to the offering time and you're ready to bring that offering and lay it at the altar, Matthew actually has the nerve, don't do that. You just put that money back in your pocket, that offering back in your pocket. You first go make peace with your brother or sister, then you come back and you lay your offering at the altar. Why? He was emphasizing the fact that we can't worship God. I can't worship God the way I'm supposed to when I'm filled up with bitterness and anger for another brother or sister. All right? Or for anybody for that matter. All right? Romans 12:18. We're almost finished. Romans 12:18. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone and do not take revenge. Notice it says, if possible, as far as it depends on us. Keep in mind, we might do the very best we can to make peace with somebody, right? Get rid of that anger and love somebody the way we're supposed to. We can't control how that person is going to respond. That's why he tells us in Romans chapter 12, do your part. Do your part and pray that God will soften the heart of whoever it is you're having a struggle with. All right, do the best we can to live at peace with everybody. Church, don't ever let anger control us. Let God be the one to control us. It's time to drop the weapons. It's time to drop the harsh words and let God remove the anger and bitterness and fill us with what? Fill us with His love. Fill us with His love. Three things that we'll have a time of invitation. First of all, I'd like to tell you this morning that a new heart of love only comes when we truly know Jesus. He wants to show all of us a better way. He wants to show us how we can love each other the same way He loves us. How's it start? It starts with a personal saving relationship with Jesus. Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you realized when He died on that cross, He was dying for all the things that all of us have done wrong so that we could be forgiven? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? You know what? Chances are, if you don't, you've got a lot of this going on in your life. The only one who can help you with it is Jesus. Come to Jesus and realize that He will replace that anger with His love. Number two, anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness, they pollute our ability to love one another and to love God. What pain do you need to let go of today? You know what? If you've got this bitterness in you, it's not going to do you any good. Maybe there's somebody here today that just wants to take all of that stuff and say, God, I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to deal with it, but I know it's not doing me any good. So today, I want to let it go. I want to let it go with your help so that I can love everybody the way I'm supposed to. It could be that somebody has that bitter root. I think we all get it on occasion, and we need to lay it down at the altar. And thirdly, how can God use your passion for change, your zeal for righteousness to make a big difference in our world today? In other words, how can God take that passion? Keep in mind, that's where the anger comes from, something within us that gets us upset about something. How can God take that thing that makes us upset and help us to respond in a righteous way to make a difference in the world we live in today? You know what? Let our righteous anger cause us to step up and get involved so that God can be glorified. Does that make sense? Amen. Amen. Three things that we need to pray about. Let me have a word of prayer with you, and then we will open up the altar during the time of invitation. Dear Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for just giving us wisdom and guidance this morning. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that there is a wrong way to handle anger, and there is a right way to handle anger. Lord, we first of all pray that if there be somebody that's listening today, somebody that's worshiping with us in person or online, if there's somebody that needs a personal saving relationship with Christ, we pray, Lord, that today will be the day of salvation. Lord, for others, we know, Lord, there is just so much hurt out there today. There's so much bitterness. There's so much anger that sometimes we feel in our lives. And Lord, help us to just lay it down at the altar today. Help us to lay it down and ask you to just replace that bitterness with your love and your peace. And Lord, for others, if there's something that we see in our world today or in our community or in our family that we just know is not right, we pray, Lord, that you would give us the passion to be able to step up and do what we can to not only pray, but also to get involved so that you can make things better through our surrendered lives. Lord, thank you for helping us to know the right way to handle anger. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you please all stand as we have a time of invitation? Whatever your need is, take it to Jesus this morning.